Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we all say, glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Well, I got up early this morning, typical on Saturday. I wanted to go over my notes. I had them all done last night, and I thought, well, I don't have to do much work this morning. And I just thought I would check news quickly, probably nothing on there. And then I see President Trump announcing that we're at war. We have invaded with Israel, a preventive empty strike at about 11 o'clock last night, starting our time. And with all those forces that we've been massing over there, it's a greater firepower than we've ever had in one place, I believe. And I don't know how many of you heard Pastor Jack's message last Wednesday night, but it really kind of came alive this morning, and we knew something was going to happen in Iran. But I think it's important to go back to the Bible, what the Bible says about Iran, because it says quite a bit. And so we'll look at that this morning, and then we need to pray. Well, if you haven't followed news at all the last month, you know what's going on in Iran, against Iran. And you know that Islam is willing to die to bring about worldwide annihilation. They want a nuclear war, because the quicker they can disseminate with fire and all that with the world, the sooner their Messiah is going to come, they think. So we're not talking about a government here that you might just think, oh, they're just evil people. They are evil, but they're evil because they're guided by the wrong God, and they're divided by the evil one, but they're willing to die for this. And so the Islamic leaders will never agree to anything that, it's like, are you going to agree? Oh yeah, I agree, I'll take away my belief in the cross, right? Because I see all your bombs out there, I'm going to turn against Jesus. You're not going to turn against Jesus, or at least I hope you're not. And so that's what we got here. We got a different enemy than you would have with Russia, than you would have with China, to that extent. Now, it's a smaller country, so it's not the size of Russia or the size of China. But, of course, we'll be praying this morning about whether China and Russia move now. I think our biggest fear, I believe, should be the United States with the sleeper cells here in this land. I think we very well may see all kinds of things break out in the next short period of time, maybe this 24, 36 hours, 48 hours, we'll see. But it's in God's hands, right?
Amen.
And He knows the outcome of this. And so President Trump went on with a 10-minute message sometime early this morning. I don't know exactly when it was. I heard it about 4 o'clock and outlined the points why all the things that they had tried to do to settle this diplomatically. And there's no settlement. And there's never going to be a settlement. So they invaded a preemptive strike. And did we pray yet? I don't think so. I think I've been talking too much. Father, we're here this morning to pray. We're not here to do world history. We're not here to do a Bible study necessarily, but we do want to see what you have said in the Bible regarding the very areas that are the focal point of what's happening and what will continue to be the focal point of what's happening. And that's primarily Israel and the Middle East. And that's where we are right now with this attack, this war being started today against Iran once again, and it could have tremendous implications, or it could just be another one of the precursor things to get our attention. I don't know, but you know. So we want to pray. Guide us this morning and direct our prayers, Lord. We don't know how to pray, but you do, and we ask you to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on the notes, I have some scripture here, and also this is just a paraphrase from Pastor Jack's sermon notes on Wednesday night, and I put this thing together in about an hour, so if there's errors in it, forgive me, but I thought I will keep the prayer in the Bible. We were going to have a prayer on Elijah raising the widow of Zarephath's son, which is a great prayer, but that'll wait till next week or whenever. But I thought this was important here. And many of you may not have even been aware of what happened. You get up this morning and everything's fine, no problem. Same thing, beautiful day. And that's your answer for the day. Everything is cool, you know. But there's a lot going on here. So what do we know about Iran from the scriptures? Well, there's a lot about Iran from the scriptures. It's called Elam in the scriptures. It's also referred to throughout history as Persia. More recently, the name Iran was given to that area, but we'll call it Iran because Elam is what it says in the scriptures. So it's been in the news for a long time. It goes back, King Cyrus of the Persians carved out that massive empire. As we know, they were one of the world powers at that time. And now we come on up to the present time. I think we had a big date here, which I wasn't even thinking about, but a big date in 1979 when the Shah took over Iran. And I think that is kind of one of the key points here that we'll see in the scriptures here that we're going to read today, at least in part of it. But in Jeremiah 49, we have the judgment on about seven nations. And one of those seven, or six or seven or eight, whatever it is Elam. And so that section is in Jeremiah 49, 34 to 49, those six verses reading, and you can read along quietly or listen. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Now, we know Zedekiah was one of the last kings in Judah. This is right around 600 BC when this is reign of Zedekiah. So it's before Christ, 600 years before Christ approximately, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam." Now, what does a bow mean to you? It's the same thing that it means here, at least in one definition of it. It's something that you launch arrows from, right? Or you launch rockets from, or you launch, it's a launching, really. And it also means a center of strength, a center of power. So he says, "I will break the center of power, break the bow of Elam." So you say, well, when will that be? Well, we don't know, but keep reading. "The foremost of their might against Elam, I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven." So that really means kind of the surrounding countries. We call about the four corners of the earth. We know the earth is round, but it's still, we call the four quarters. One of the things the Marine Corps says, we're, you know, defending the four corners of the earth, right? So if you flatten it out, if you take your globe and flatten it out and open it up, you'll still get corners in a way. But this is what we're talking about. This doesn't even say corners, it says quarters, from the four quarters of heaven, and scatter them all toward those winds. And I think that's one of the things that was kicked off in 1979. We had so many Iranians fled the country at that time and since then. So we've got Iranians in pretty much every place around the world now. "The foremost of their might against Elam, I will bring four winds from the four quarters and scatter them toward all these winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go." So it's not just next door, it's kind of around the world. We got a whole, think of the Irvine population here here locally of Iranians. We got a lot of them here. Westwood, a lot of Iranians, for example, just in our own local area. "I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them." Now, we know that's coming. We don't know if this is going to be part of that or if this is part of that, but that is part of the prophecy. "I will bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, says the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them." Heavy duty. Yeah, yes it is. Now, how does God do that? Does he just speak out of the heavens and it happens? Yes, he does, but he also uses other nations. Think how he used Assyria, which at the time was the most wicked nation in the world, to bring down the 10 northern tribes of Israel in 722. So Assyria was bad, but he used them to conquer the 10 tribes of Israel. And then about 140 years later, he used Babylon, which was a wicked nation, still is home of idolatry and so forth. And he used them to bring down the southern two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. So he uses nations. And you remember there was the leader of in that time called Cyrus, whom 150 years before he was born was mentioned by name in the scripture, And God even refers to him at one point as my Savior. Now, that's not the Savior in terms of the way we think of the Savior, of our Savior who died on the cross, but it is in terms of how God used him at that point to bring judgment against Israel. So judgment is going to come on Iran. And some of this, as you read it, you think, hey, we're on the right side on this. Well, in a way, yes. I personally believe as long as we're supporting Israel, we'll be on the right side. And the day we stop supporting Israel, and also when the church is removed. I don't think judgment is going to come on this nation as long as the church is here. That will come on it after the church is gone. But we're getting right down to that point, and all these things are happening now in our lifetime, really, aren't they? I mean, probably the rapture, maybe not. But anyway, we're going to get getting closer and closer to this. And this is the prophecy that I will bring disaster upon them. My fierce anger, says the Lord, and I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. So Islam, you're on the wrong side. Is that not true? Verse 38, I will set my throne in Elam. And you go, what? I thought the throne was going to be in Jerusalem. Well, it certainly is. But this means a center of power. There will be a center of power in Persia, in Iran, not the center of power. That'll be Jesus in Jerusalem. But he is going to have a center of power there in that land, meaning he's going to be ruling that land, not Islam, right? I think that's what it says to me anyway. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there the king and the princes. So these leaders are going to be destroyed, it says the Lord. So, says the Lord, right? So what's your source? Says the Lord. Wow. Verse 39, but it shall come to pass in the latter days. Now, the latter days is any time, really, after Israel became a nation, I think. So we're 75 years into the latter days already. You may pick a different date than that. It could be even earlier than that. But in the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam. So they're going to be scattered. The nation is going to be conquered, leadership-wise. And then they will return. Much not too dissimilar than Israel in a way. I mean, we know how Israel's scattered, and now Israel's coming back into the land. And maybe that's kind of the same thing here. It shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring the captives of Elam back, says the Lord. So that gives you the six verses there of what the Bible says about Iran. And you can spend time with the Lord on that and have him give you the answers to your questions. He's the only one that can. Now, we can also possibly tie that into Ezekiel 38, because Ezekiel 38's prophecy is going to occur in the latter days as well. But verses 1 through 7 of the first 8 verses in Ezekiel, you know them probably. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him. That means the head of the northern nations. What's north of Israel? Well, if you go, you know what it is. You go on up, it's Russia. It's those other countries in that area. And then we're going to have Turkey mentioned here too, specifically. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, as I mentioned, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen. So we're going to have the northern nations invading Iran. Invading Israel, I'm sorry. We're Israel now, not Iran. But we know that's coming. And we know that they're all in alignment with that, treaties even today and so forth. So that could really happen at pretty much any time. Put hooks in your jaws and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, we know where those are. There's Iran. Ethiopia, that's probably part of Africa, and Libya, part of Africa. With them, Libya, the north shore of Africa, Ethiopia, that southeastern corner, with them, all of them with shields and helmet. Gomer, that's another area there, and the house of Togarm, I think that's referring to Turkey. From the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. So it's going to be a big invasion force. Prepare yourself and be ready. That's a good thing for us, for sure. Yeah. And those around us, you know, I really hope that this would wake up our kids and grandkids that are on the fence and haven't turned to the Lord yet. Man, time is here. Yeah. What does it take for you to wake up? What does it take for you to realize your desperate need for a Savior, right? So I pray that would be the fruitfulness of some of these things. But prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. So I think that's a good prep verse 7 for our prayer today or always, that we would be a guard for those who are not where they should be yet. We need to be prepared and ready, and we need to be praying for those around us are prepared and ready. And if they're not saved, there's no way they're prepared and ready, right? That's essential. No matter you got war or no war, you take your last breath, if you're not prepared and ready and haven't chosen to be with the Lord forever, you won't be. So time is time, right? Then skipping on down to verse 23 in Ezekiel 38, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, you can read on through these other notes. If you turn to the back, just a couple, point out a couple of things to you. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of these because I can't do justice in them. But these are just pretty much just a summary from Pastor Jack's notes. One thing just to mention, the very last paragraph of those notes, he showed the nations in the Middle East and their percentage of Sunni and Shia. And I didn't know this as much, but Shia are the active fighters. They're the bad ones. The Sunnis are pretty mild. For example, Jordan today is 95% Sunni. So they're not a rabble-rouser. But you look at Yemen, you look at Qatar, you look at some of these other countries over there. Even Lebanon now has a large percentage, mostly brought in, because they used to be all Christian, brought in. But where you see a high percentage of Sunni, it's good. Where you see a high percentage of Shia, those are going to be the countries that are going to be the biggest contributors to violence, really. So that's just a difference in their belief. So they all believe in Islam, but they're all Islam, but they have a different view of the end times. It's kind of like us with the conservatives and the liberals, right? We have a little bit different view there. So it may help you. And then coming on down, Real Life Network will be keeping us up to date. If you go there, there's a website there, reallifenetwork.com. Then you have to, it's good to download the app. There's an app you can download. And then we've got Daniel Cohen over there in Jerusalem, commentator. And Network hired him about a year ago. So we've got a voice giving news from Jerusalem, and then also on there will be comments, I believe, from Amir Sefarti and some other people, too. So if you stay in touch with Real Life Network, you probably is a good supplement for world news that you get, because the world news will not have much about the real important side of it. They'll be talking about the political side and the forces on the, you know, military force side, which is the way the world looks at this. The world doesn't really look at this in terms of messiahs and so forth, I think. And then if you want to see Pastor Jack's message and notes, you can go. There's a website for there on Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Maybe some of you saw it Wednesday night. But good perspective to be looking at what the Bible says. And the main thing we need to remember is God is on the throne. He is sovereign. But he wants to know our hearts. Eventually, he's going to do what he's going to do. Are we going to be on that side? Are we going to be on that side to maybe affect somebody between now and when this all comes down to turn to the Lord or to have their faith more solid, that's something that we're to do, right? And we know enough about it. We have the only answer, and that's Jesus Christ. And so by love and truth, may we stand and use these hours that we have until he takes us out of here. And let us pray again for against cell group activity, Islamic cell group activity in this nation. I think there's cell groups, hundreds of them throughout the United States that have been reported, certainly in every major population center. So we got scores of them here in Southern California, I believe. And so what does that mean? Well, it means they're a potential real source of problems and catastrophe and chaos and murder and so forth, destruction. So how do we defend ourselves against that? Well, the same way we do against everything, that's to pray, right? Well, Father, we hear a little bit about what's going on and we can't grasp too much, but we do know what your word says. We've read some of those verses. And Lord, now we have that opportunity as our little family, which meets every week. This is, it seems to me, to be a good week to pray for some of these things, because what's happened within the last 24 hours of these preemptive strike, and with such force, we've never had all of our bombers and all of that over now moved over to Europe and to the Middle East. And we got a mighty force concentrated in those two gulfs, the Mediterranean Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba area there. And Lord, it's a perfect opportunity. If you want to bring judgment on this nation, just to wipe out pretty much our entire military force, it's so concentrated. And Lord, we know there's weaponry that can do that, really, even from above, by taking out the electronics and all that kind of a thing. So Lord, we're just here at your mercy and always. But we have the opportunity to come to you, Lord. You've given us that freedom. You've given us that access. And so, Lord, may our hearts be right. So lead us in this time of prayer. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for Tuesday night this week, the State of the Union message, yes. Lord. And we saw the clear division there with those, yes, who would not stand just for common sense things, and was worth billions of dollars in midterm election ads, I guess. But it's so clear who's against you. And Lord, that is not to say that we are all on the other side or all right, no way, because there's much sin in all the camps in a way. Mm-hmm. But those who would not even stand for decency, Lord, it didn't go well for them. So we thank you for that. I think you did have that night won of good over evil. And I thank you for the reaction, and we expected to hear the comments from the other side, and they were foolish, just foolishness. Yeah. And so, Lord, we thank you. And we thank you that that would be continued the case, that we'd see the foolishness of those against you. There will be no peace. We know that Isaiah says over and over, there is no peace for the wicked. And so, Lord, we do not want to envy any of those that are on the wrong side, because they're all in a bad situation. But Lord, I do thank you for your blessings, and I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the many times in the scriptures where we see through your grace, you go back over and over again and again to those who are against you and giving them a chance after chance after chance, just as you did each one of us, really, to a degree for a time period. And that's who you are. And so I thank you for what you're going to do right now in these last days. And Lord, it'd be perfect. Those who love you will be with you. Those who don't love you will not be with you. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And whatever we can do to help in that area as you lead us, may we say, yes, Lord, I'm available. I'm here. I'm whatever you want, Lord, I'm in. May that be in Jesus' name. And we do want to praise you. We've had a lot to think about here this morning, and we'll continue as things unfold. But just wanted to close with kind of the other side of that a little bit, and just look at this old song by George Beverly Shea, The Wonder of It All. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all. Just to think that Jesus loves me. Let's close on that and thank Him for that.
There's the wonder of sunset at evening, a wonder as sunrise I see.
Father, we thank You for meeting us here today, Lord. I just pray Your blessings on this little group. I pray that Your presence would be just so close and so near and so visible, and we would know where You are at all times, and we would just say, yes, Lord, and do what You would have us to do for such a time as this. And what a wonderful time to be alive, Lord. We know we're not here much longer, but Lord, You still have given us that opportunity to make some eternal investments that will soon be over as soon as we take that last breath. Help us to redeem that time, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.